Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to OHM Infra Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Mehta for the opening comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Dale. Good evening, everyone. I, Vishal Mehta, on behalf of Stellar Investor Relations, welcome you all to OHM Infra Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. We shall be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the first quarter ended 30th June 2024. We have with us today the senior management team of OHM Infra Limited, Mr. Vikas Kothari, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Sunil Kumar Jain, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to state that during this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon our belief, opinion, and expectation as of today. These statements are not a guarantee of our future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statements to reflect developments that occur after a statement is made. Documents relating to the company's financial performance, including the investor presentation, have already been uploaded on the stock exchanges and company's website. I now invite Mr. Vikas Kothari to share his initial remark on the company's performance for the first quarter ended June 30th, 2024. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vishal. I hope everyone can hear me loud and clear. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our company Q1 FY25 earnings call. Hope you all have been able to go through our investor presentation, which was recently uploaded today afternoon for Q1 FY25. During Q1 FY25, on consolidated level, the revenue has come in at 169 crores, which saw a degrowth of about 36% year-on-year. Of course, mainly, I've already explained the reasons, but mainly, this has happened because of slower order execution, which was a result of severe heat wave that gripped many parts of the country and affected labor availability. And of course, largely and most importantly, it was affected because of general elections, both in the state as well as in the center because of the general elections. And this is by far one of the longest elections ever conducted in the country. And that is, and during elections, the entire government machinery goes into a sort of a standstill mode, and that kind of leads to slowdown in the execution. So that happened. And because of all these reasons, there was slowdown in economic activities across the nation. So this is basically largely the reason why we had a degrowth of revenue. And you will see that in almost every EPC company's results also. The EBITDA has come in at 17 crores, which saw a degrowth of 15% year-on-year. Our profitability has remained healthy in Q1 FY25. The profit after tax was recorded at 13 crores. In Q1 FY25, the execution run rates remained stable across the engineering segment. Engineering business profitability maintained the EBIT margins at about 12% in Q1 FY25. Our outstanding order book remains healthy at about 2,050 crores, roughly, which translates to about 2x of our FY24 revenues and provides a good revenue visibility for 2 years. The order book is well diversified with a good mix of hydropower and water projects and pumped storage projects and also Jal Jeevan Mission projects. As we are about to add a few more orders in this financial year, but somehow because of elections, the onboarding of these couple of orders has got deferred. The pipeline of new orders will start kicking in the coming months. We will see in this calendar year itself adding one or two good orders, as I've been saying in the past. As we look ahead, the Government of India in the recent budget post-elections has commented about transition, the demand for cleaner energy grows, hydropower, and especially, you know, with the mention of the Honorable Finance Minister about pump storage projects, is becoming crucial for flexibility in the energy system, in the energy generation in the country. The Union Ministry of Power has said that Government of India has drafted out guidelines of pump storage projects in March 2023 to generate 18,000 megawatts of electricity to bring stability to grids and meet the peak and also meet the peak power demand by 2032. India has an on-river pump storage potential of 103,000 megawatts, which is almost 103 gigawatts, and has 8 projects under operation. 4 projects with 2,780 megawatts are under construction already, and 24 projects are under different stages of development. Out of 56 projects in total with a total potential of 73,240 megawatts are identified. 18 projects and 10 projects in Maharashtra and Northeast respectively. So every state in the country has potential for pump storage projects, and this is being seen as the most suitable source of renewable power by the central government. The new policies like ESPS charge waivers and guidelines for pump storage are set to boost the sector, aiding in peak load management and system stability. As of July 24, the country has large hydropower capacity of 46,928 megawatts, which accounts for 11% of the total installed power capacity in the country. According to CEA, there's a potential of another 145,000 320 megawatts from hydroelectric sources. Only about 32% of this has been utilized so far. So there's an enormous potential for future development of hydro. For the future outlook, according to Central Electricity Authority, there are 32 hydropower projects under construction in India with a combined capacity of 16,737 megawatts. This includes 12,056 megawatts from central government and 3,092 megawatts from state, and 1,590 megawatts from private sector. By 2026 and 2027, large hydro is expected to make up about 17% of country's renewable energy capacity, which is projected to exceed 344 gigawatts. The National Electricity Plan 2023 forecasts new addition of 10,814 megawatts of conventional hydro and 2,700 megawatts of pump storage projects by 2027. With further expansion planned for 2027 to 2032. However, to meet these goals, challenges like water rights, environmental issues, contractor reliability, resettlement concerns need to be addressed, as these often cause delay and cost overruns amongst hydropower and pump storage projects. Lastly, let me now give you some updates on key litigations that our company was involved in and the progress that we have achieved in those litigations. One of the key litigations in the development in the Bhilwara-Jaipur toll road project was that arbitration award was already with us. PWD has deposited 10% of the arbitration amount before challenging the award. The appeal made by PWD, Government of Rajasthan, has been dismissed by the Commercial Court, and hence the arbitration award has been reinstated. PWD, Government of Rajasthan, has appealed against the decision of the Commercial Court in the High Court of Rajasthan, and more specifically in the double bench, because of current rules of Arbitration Act. And this will take its own course of time, but the matter is pending in the High Court as we speak today. With respect to Mhada-Bandra project in Mumbai, because of various reasons, the consortium had appealed to arbitration forum against Mhada, and the matter was finally heard with an award partially in our favor. We have preferred an appeal for the remaining matters and await the outcome. Before I request Mr. S.K. Jain, our CFO, to delve into the details of our quarterly performance, I would like to reiterate that in our recent years of our company, we have continued to grow and expand our operations with a large order book and strong track record in hydro and in water infrastructure. We have by far one of the highest credentials in hydropower and also for pump storage projects. We are well positioned to take advantages of opportunities in this field. We expect to achieve significant growth in the coming quarters. I now request Mr. S.K. Jain to take us through the financial performance. Over to you, Mr. Jain.
Thanks a lot, Vikasji. I'm S.K. Jain, CFO. Let me take you through some key highlights for the first quarter of financial year 2025, where revenue stood at 185 crore with profit of 13 crore. As Vikasji has already mentioned in the opening remarks about the moderate revenue, I would like to reiterate that this revenue has been complemented by increasing profitability. In this quarter, we saw a decrease in the finance cost, which is a positive sign for us, which was majorly contributed by return of PG from some projects in the shape of mobilization advance and performance guarantee, and reduced utilization of working capital limits. Last two quarters may witness good progress, and we are all striving to match 23-24 levels or surpass it if relevant sectors support. In 2024, we have received claimed amount in all dues of approximately 64 crore, including interest, which has been used to reduce our Sunday creditors, and majority of cash surplus was used in lowering interest-bearing creditors beyond 30 to 60 days. With this, I request the moderator to now open the floor for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Good evening. So firstly, now looking ahead in terms of order inflow, so if you can give a certain outlook for what kind of an order inflow you're expecting and from which particular projects or segments. And in the last call, you had mentioned that FY25 and FY26, you expect 15-20% revenue jump depending on the government. So if you could, you know, give your thoughts on the same.
So we are expecting an order addition, you know, an order book addition in this financial year itself. As I said earlier, we are expecting to add anywhere between about 500 crores of orders in this financial year itself. And it may be more because the lineup of the projects that are coming up is very strong. As regards your next point, revenue growth, this year's growth has been a bit muted because of as I explained earlier, general elections, prolonged general elections, by far one of the largest we've ever had in our country, in our country's history. And, but however, you know, since our order book is already a confirmed order book and we have an order book of close to 2x of our revenues, therefore, I don't see any reason why we should have any shortfall in our revenue growth because, you know, this order book is a very strong order book and is is already under peak of its execution. So there may be a slowdown in revenue recognition, but the growth in revenue should be definitely happening.
And so what about the EBITDA margins then, sir?
The margins in these orders are already assured. So, you know, they're already locked in. So our EBITDA margins would be in the double digit, ranging from anywhere between 11 to 14% range.
11 to 14%. Okay. Okay. And, okay, I'll get back with you for now. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Soumya from Insightful Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sorry, I joined late. I just want to understand what is the guidance in terms of revenue growth for the next 2-3 years, and in terms of margin also, if you can guide us to the data.
I think we already answered that question, but in terms of revenue, growth, even our current outstanding portion of the order book is itself 2 times of our current revenue. So there is definitely, and that is at the peak of its execution. So therefore, you know, expect a good growth in our revenue. In terms of margins, I think we are in a double digit margin EBITDA in the range of anywhere between 11 to 14%, as I explained earlier.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Laser Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. I had a question regarding Bandra project. See, I think in your investor presentation, you have mentioned, since I think we have invested around some 100 crores odd, correct? 106 crores in the year of 2006 for a 35% stake. Can we understand what are the, when you say consortium, who are the consortium partners totality? And in between earlier calls where we were there, there you said, I think the premium, FSI premium, which needs to be paid, that needs to be paid by Om Infra. And DB Realty will not go for a higher FSI ka premium. There was something on those lines. So if you can explain properly, how is DB Realty involved? And I think what I had understood was, they are going to construct the full building and everything, and we only have to sell the product. There is no other cost in terms of the construction, but only FSI cost was going to be there on us. But on the higher FSI that we are going to get, is it that the full consortium will be bearing the cost as per the ratios, or it is only Om Infra which is going to share the cost?
So first of all, this investment was made at the time where we had 5 partners. Our share at that time was 35% in the consortium, and the remaining 65% was amongst 4 other partners. And our investment and investment of other partners has all been in the same ratio as the shareholding. Going forward, with the induction of DB as a partner, with Valor as a partner, we had each on us had diluted 50% stake respectively, and that is the current equity we have in the project, which is 17.5. Now, as in regards to your next question regarding FSI cost, so the terms of engagement that we have with the Valor Estates is that the basic FSI cost will have to be borne by them, but any additional, the additional FSI that we get in this project, the FSI premium and the construction cost will have to be borne by respective partners for the additional FSI. Now, those terms are obviously still on the drawing board, because now whoever we bring in as a development partner, we will have revised terms with them. So it is going to be a bit premature for me to comment on that at the moment. But I think there will be more clarity once we bring in a development partner, which is an exercise that that Valor Estate is undertaking right now. So there will obviously be more clarity. Sorry, go ahead.
Valor is not going to develop and again he's going to get another partner. That is what you're saying?
Yes, because, you know, Valor understands that the project branding has to be with a strong and reputed developer under whose brand this project can easily be sold or, you know, which this project will take off easily. So having said that, they are looking for a tie-up. At the same time, you know, since their financials have also significantly improved, we expect that the clearing of the slum, etc., will be something that they will take up even before inviting a third partner. Once that takes place, then we'll have a choice between several strong and reputed players within the city of Mumbai to partner with. And also, we may actually even look at a complete exit as well, which will bring us a significant chunk at one go itself instead of waiting it out for the share of the free sale portion to get sold. So, as I said, you know, everything is under on the drawing board. All the options are being explored. We are not restricted to just having a share of the free sale area. We are open to every possibility, which is in the best interest of the shareholders of Omintra.
Great. My next question is regarding our Palacia project at Jaipur. Why is it taking so long? I think even that is 7-8 years or maybe more. I don't know. How old will be that project if we start from the... Is it 7-8 years or?
No. So we got the OC of that project only recently. So it's not a very old project. The OC was received only recently. The project did get delayed in terms of completion, but there are various reasons for that. But now that it is complete and now that we've received the occupation certificate or the completion certificate, now we are expecting the sales velocity to increase. We have also recently appointed a very reputed agency which is, you know, well worthy of its name to help us in a faster sale of, you know, this project. So I think going forward in the next few quarters, we'll see a good velocity in terms of sales in this project.
Great. Okay. Thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shruti Vasani from Stellar AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I would like to know the order book expectation for the FY25.
Sorry, I didn't get your question.
Order book expectation for FY25.
As I said, that we are expecting to add anywhere between 500 to 1,000 crores in terms of new orders within this financial year.
Okay. And regarding the Jal Jeevan Mission, are we securing any new orders?
We are always on a lookout for new orders. So whether it is... let me explain to you here a little bit. We have presence in multiple verticals, which is including hydroelectric power projects, pump storage projects, Jal Jeevan Mission projects, irrigation projects, water supply projects, and also river interlinking projects. So we don't, and water resources, you know, in terms of construction of dams, reservoirs, etc. So then even smart city projects also. So we don't restrict ourselves to any one segment. We bid for projects across all segments and we have a mixed order book. There's no focus on just bidding and taking Jal Jeevan Mission or hydropower projects. There's multiple pipeline of projects which are coming up.
Okay, okay. Thank you. And one more last question. What will be the incremental BG limit for procuring the new orders?
Incremental?
BG limit, bank guarantee limit?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So for any project, we require anywhere between 10 to 20% of the order book, of the order value as new bank guarantee limits. So or if you take on an average between 10 to 15% also, that's the level. So if I add 1,000 crores of orders, I will need roughly around 100 to 150 crores in terms of new BG limits. Because the project's range require BG requirement ranges, there are two kinds of BGs required, performance bank guarantee and advanced bank guarantee. Performance bank guarantee ranges in between 5 to 10% of the total project value. And advanced bank guarantee ranges also in between anywhere between 5 to 10% of the total project value. So, and if they're all required at different times, performance bank guarantee is required immediately at the start of the project itself. And advanced bank guarantee is required and also released during the execution of the project. So on an average, anywhere between 10 to 15% is the total requirement of BGs.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mahesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Mahesh, your line has been unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, you are audible.
Yeah, hi, thank you for the opportunity. So basically I wanted to know that in recent times our margins have corrected, and this is because some of the projects what the company has won. But in the past our margins used to be much higher. So just wanted to know whether we can go back to in the range of 18 to 20% or maybe higher also. So just wanted to know whether there can be a revival in the margin.
See, margin is a factor of the order book, which quarter and which year we have mix in revenue, it all depends on that. Our strong forte is hydromechanical equipments, which is where we are one of the largest players in the world. And being one of the largest players in the world and that too in a monopolistic kind of a business which has very limited players and highly specialized in high-end engineering business of hydromechanical equipment. So whichever quarter and whichever year we have good contribution in revenue from hydromechanical equipments, that year we have good margins. And, all the other businesses also have a double-digit margin, but certainly not as good as the hydromechanical itself. So now having seen that there is an enormous potential and enormous pipeline of orders coming in from hydropower and from pump storage projects, therefore I'm of a very confident opinion that going forward the margins are going to be stronger than what they are and what they have been in the past few years. In the past, because the mix of revenue in the past 2-3 years has been from Jal Jeevan Mission and irrigation projects. Going forward, I see this mix more skewed towards hydropower and pump storage projects.
Okay. Thank you for the explanation. I just have a question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anurag Hinch from Sundi Securities and Finance Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, sir, you mentioned about the pump storage project in slide. Sir, just wanted to know what kind of revenue do you expect in coming years, like 2-3 years down the lane? What kind of revenue contribution do you see from such projects? And what kind of projects are you targeting over the next 2-3 years?
See, there are two kinds of work that we target in a pump storage project. One is, of course, our core business, which is hydromechanical equipment. And the other is civil and hydromechanical. So if the project is of
smaller size, then we bid for civil and hydromechanical. If the project is of large size, then we only bid for hydromechanical there. So it all depends on what the size of the project is, what the competitive scenario is. So there's nothing that can be committed as of now. But as I said, that there's in the pipeline. And you see also what you have to understand is that the orders in hydropower and pump storage, they take a long time to come off the drawing board. First, the private sector signs an MOU with the state government, then DPRs are prepared, then land acquisition is done, then financial closure are done. By the time it comes for bidding, it takes a long time. But once it comes for bidding, then the first contract is awarded, a civil construction contract. Then the contracts of hydromechanical are awarded. So everything depends on how much order I'm able to add from pump storage. The opportunity is enormous. The potential is enormous going forward.
So, Hinde, does that answer your question?
Yeah, thanks. So, obviously, you know, it's difficult to put a number to it, but I can only give you a number where it, when it comes to the hydropower and pump storage potential. And to just give you, you can extrapolate that into your own Excel sheet, but I can give you one thing is that typically a cost of a project is ranges from anywhere between 5 to 7 crores per megawatt. Now, if there's a 1,000 crore project, 1,000 megawatt project, then the cost of that construction of that project is anywhere between 5,000 to 7,000 crores. And our portion is anywhere between 5 to 10% of the total cost of the project, which is only hydromechanical equipment. So on this basis, you can assess what is the level of potential that is there to come.
And what kind of margin do you get from such projects?
Upwards of 12-13%.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Data Shah from Laser Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. What we installed is how much time is still that arbitration and that clearing of the slums you are expecting on that Bandra project? And also, if you can share some light, a little awkward question, but I think your competition was mainly on Patel Engineering, I suppose, where the MD has expired. So, is it going to help us in any way in terms of the technical advantage? Because I think he was the main person over there. So, does it help in terms of getting more orders? And any other competition that we have in the pump storage, apart from Patel Engineering and I think HCC, if I'm not wrong.
So let me answer your first question first. The Bandra, we don't know in terms of timelines when it is going to, when the slum is going to be cleared, because it's all a guess work right now. Because, you know, government permissions and then clearing the slum, it, all these things take time. And it is not in our hands anyway, so it, we are dependent on Valor for doing this. On your other question, it is quite unfortunate that Rupin Patel has passed away. He was a dear friend and a very respected personality in hydropower business. They are not the only competitors we had. We have competitors like L&T, NCC, HCC. So there are a couple of other companies also in the hydropower civil space. And I think the competitive scenario is quite decent. But in hydromechanical, we have very limited competition. So Patel was never our competition in the hydromechanical space. In the civil space, yes. And I think that I don't know whether that answers your question.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Akshaya Malani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunities. I wanted to ask, suppose if we bid for 4,000 crores, how much order do we receive out of it? What's the conversion ratio of order book?
If it's hydromechanical equipment, we have a fairly strong share of success there. Our success rate is almost 30 to 40% there. So I would say in hydromechanical, 4,000 crores, we should easily get about 1,000 to 1,500 crores.
So roughly 25-30%, you're saying?
Yes, minimum.
So can you give a number, like how much have we bidded for this year or anything like that?
No, it is difficult to predict the amount because we focus mainly on the government sector. And in the government sector, the projects take time to come up for bidding. So how many projects will come up for bidding in this financial year itself? And even if they come up for bidding, how many will the bids will be opened and by which time, by what time, they, how much time they will take to convert into a work order or LOI is very difficult to predict.
Understood.
But as I said that we are expecting to add another 500 to 1,000 crores in terms of orders in this financial year itself.
Okay, so roughly 3,000 of order book we are expecting for this year.
Yes, outstanding order book.
Right, and that will be completed in the next 2 to 3 years, right?
Correct.
Okay, and so one more thing I want to ask, if we get an order, supposedly of 500 odd crores, and like, is it a case where we have given this contract to someone else on a commission basis or something like that? We have basically outsourced our order book to someone else.
No, we don't do that.
So we do all orders by ourselves, right?
Yes, by and large.
And so also on the real estate part, we have few projects going on. By when can we expect the 100% realization of the values?
In the next 2 to 3 financial years.
Okay. And also, so are we planning for any other real estate project as of now?
No.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vikas Kothari for closing comments.
So, thank you very much for being there on the call. I truly appreciate your time of joining us. But what I can also add is that the future potential of our company in terms of the land capex by the central government in the energy sector is enormous, and especially in the sector, you may have recently read news about the river interlinking projects that are going to come up in the northern part of the country as well as in the south, in every part of the country for that matter. So all the 5 verticals that we are present in water have enormous potential for growth in the future. And I'm what I can tell you is that we have not added any order book in the last 1.5 years because of a strategic reason, and that is because we wanted to save our bid capacity as well as our BG limits for this enormous potential that we are foreseeing in the future. So there is no point in just running behind aggressively behind the order book. Because at the end of the day, what is also equally important when it comes to the top line growth, and it is also equally important to have a bottom line growth. So our company believes in bottom line, and therefore we are conservative in terms of taking orders into our basket, and we are very selective, and in the long run, that's what pays off. So be patient with us and believe in our future growth and focus on our bottom line, which is more important. Thank you very much for being there. Hand it over to Mr. Jain and Vishal.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Mr. Jain has lost his connection. Should I reconnect?
No, that's okay. You can, Vishal, you can give the closing remarks.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Home Infra Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.